Robin. Let's go back now to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, is there anybody here who is interested in salvation? Anybody interested in salvation? The answer to that question should be yes from everybody here. Because some of you sitting here do not believe on the Lord. And if you were to die today, you would perish forever. You would be cast out into outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth, and that's where you'd be. Everyone here should be interested in salvation. We're sinners, and we need to be saved. How are we saved? How can a sinner obtain the righteousness of God so that God will accept us? That's the question. Paul talks about two ways that sinners attempt to come to him, two ways sinners attempt to be accepted of God, two ways sinners expect to stand before God in the day of judgment. The righteousness of the law. That is, they go to the law and they attempt to keep the law by their works. And then he talks about the righteousness of faith. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these two ways will be our divisions. We'll look at each one of them. See what the Scripture says about each one of these ways that men try to come to God. And I'll tell you this from the outset. This is the message. You must have the righteousness of God. You and I must have the righteousness of God. And the only way to obtain the righteousness of God is through faith in Christ. That's it. Now, first of all, what does Paul say here about the righteousness of the law? Verse 5, he says, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Now, this is simple. This is easy to understand. The law tells you, if you decide you want to try to be saved by the law, then you must do its commands, and you shall have life. You must do the commands of the law, and you shall have life. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know the Ten Commandments. You have to keep the Ten Commandments. And we're going through the rest of the law in Scripture. There's 613 laws. You have to keep every one of them perfectly. That includes if a person sins, you have to kill them to keep the law. You have to stone them to death. There's laws in there that you probably don't even know about. That you never even heard of. But you got to keep them. If you're going to come to God in the law, you got to keep them. Ignorance is no excuse. And notice here, Moses didn't say, "Hear the commandments and you shall live." Romans 2:13 says, "Not the hearers of the law are justified, but the doers of the law." He didn't just say, "Hear the law." Moses didn't say, "Three strikes and you're out." He didn't say, "You get three attempts at it." James said, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." Moses didn't say, "As long as you do your best, God will receive you." We just read up in Romans 10 and verse 2, Paul said of the children of Israel, "I bear them record, I bear them witness, they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge." Zeal won't save you. You can be zealous for the law, that won't save you. Everything God commands us in the law, you must do. You must do it all. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is, with all your will and understanding, with all your affections. You can only have a heart and only have affection for God. You can't have affection for anything else in this world to keep His law. For God only. It has to be perfect affection, perfectly free from all hypocrisy. Now, this is what it takes to come to God in the law. You have to have a... Let's go back now to birth. Let's go back to your mother's womb. You got to have a perfect conception. You got to be conceived in your mother's womb perfectly. You can't be conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, as Scripture says of all of us. And let's go to your birth, when you're born. You can't go astray as soon as you be born speaking lies. You can't do it. You have to be perfect. You have to begin without sin, continue without sin, and end without sin, if you be saved by the law. Now, you remember that rich young ruler that came to our Lord Jesus, and our Lord Jesus told him, keep all these laws. And he said, well, I've done from my youth up. Now, is there anybody here as foolish as that rich young ruler? Anybody here that's so blind that you would say, well, I've kept the law from my youth up? Well, I'll tell you what Christ said to that man. He said, go sell everything you've got. Sell it all. Everything you own. Take all the money out of the bank, put with it, and give it to the poor. Every last dime you have. And follow Christ. And trust Christ to provide everything for you. Can you do that? Can you do that? You'll find out real quick. You're covetous. So am I. We can't do that. We can't do that. If we could do that, God's church in this world would be amply provided for. His preachers and His people, there'd be no lacking of anything in this world. We can't live like that. We won't. We've got an old man of sin with us that's covetous and just won't give everything for God. Righteousness by the law is impossible. That's what I'm saying to you. Righteousness by the law is impossible. It's an impossibility. That's what God says in His Word. God spoke by men that were inspired of God to write what they wrote, and He said it's an impossibility to be justified by the law. That means when God gave the law, He knew that. Men will go around saying, well, God wouldn't give us a law we couldn't keep. Yeah, that's exactly what He did. Because God said this in Galatians 3:10, as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everybody that's under the law. Because you can't keep it. And no mixture of law and faith can justify you. Some people say, well, I believe on Christ, but I believe now we have to add our works to it. Well, God's people are going to be faithful to do good works by God's grace. But if you're looking to those works, if you're trusting in those works, if you need those works for holiness or for righteousness, then you're looking to the law. You're trusting yourself. And that won't save any attempt to mix law and grace. That's works and that's law. And it will not justify you in the sight of God. You see, you might could justify yourselves before men. That's what most of this progressive sanctification stuff is. Men are preaching this and they're teaching sinners to act a certain way and people put on a good show outwardly. And it's mainly to be seen of men. It's mainly to appease the preacher and his Gestapo, his henchmen that are going to come around and whip you if you don't obey it. It's to impress them and keep them looking at you and pleased with you. And you might justify yourselves before men. They might look at you and say, yes, you're righteous. You're righteous. But see, God's looking on the heart. He's not looking on the outward appearance. And what's going on in your heart? What's going on in your thoughts? And I'll tell you this, you've broken the law since you've been sitting here. You've broken the law since I started preaching this message. You've sat here and broken the law. Everybody, every one of us. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. No man, Galatians 3:11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. For the just shall live by faith. That's the only way. The just live by faith. And the law's not of faith. The law, you can't go to the law and live by faith. You can't. It's an impossibility. The law's not of faith. The law says the man that doeth the commandments shall live by them. You see, over and over in Scripture, God says you're either going to have to be saved by the law, and that means you have to do the whole law, or saved through the righteousness of faith, trusting Christ. But you can't mix the two. You can't try a little of both and no. Salvation is only through faith in Christ. The law is not of faith. Faith's not involved in doing the works of the law. There's no faith in that. It's strictly what you do. You do and you live. You don't do, you die. No faith involved in that. You have to do it all. Any addition to faith, any addition to Christ, if you have to supplement Christ's work with something, you do. Your goodness, your morality, your church going, your baptism, if there's anything that a man thinks he has to add to Christ, he's looking to the law. He's looking to himself. He's trying to be justified by his own works. And God won't have it. God won't have it. He said, if you be circumcised, and you can add anything you want to there, if you be baptized, if you be join the church, if you attend church services, anything you want to add there, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. You are debtor to keep the whole law of God. We want to be baptized. We want to join the church, but we don't do it to be saved. If you're doing it to be saved, Christ will profit you nothing. You're debtor to keep the whole law. So we have to abandon all hope of righteousness by the law. That ought to be clear from the Scriptures. Every one of us have to abandon any hope of being made righteous by the law. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. If you try to supplement Christ's righteousness with your works, God will reject you. He'll reject you. Now that's Scripture. That's Scripture. That's the plain teaching of Scripture. And if you reject what I'm telling you, you're rejecting God, because this is God's Word. This is what He said. You can't come. You're not good. You're not good. God said there's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. And you got to have a righteousness. And you can't work to obtain it. Now that's Scripture. That's what God said. Here's why, and I want you to get this now. Listen carefully. Christ is God's righteousness. Christ is the only righteousness God will receive. He's pleased with His Son. He's pleased with what His Son has done. And He will not receive anyone but those that come trusting His Son. That's the only way God will receive a sinner. And He's sanctification for us too. Righteousness and sanctification. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at this. This is the first scripture I can remember being able to hear whenever God gave me ears to hear. Right here. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence. Verse 29. But of Him, but of God are you in Christ Jesus. This is if He's put you in Christ, it's of God that did it. Who of God? He's made unto us. Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. That's holiness. That right there just puts a death blow to this notion of trying to come to God by our progressive sanctification. Christ is our holiness. Christ is that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And redemption. That means when Christ said, He that I've made free, He'll be free indeed. He frees you from the law because He makes you see He's redeemed. To redeem us from the law, He had to pay the law everything the law demanded of us. He had to give the law due obedience and due justice and give the law everything the law demanded us. Give it death. And by that, He bought His people out from under the law. Do you see what a slap in the face it would be if God permitted one of His children to go then turn around and go back to the law and go back to our works after what Christ did for His people? So God won't allow that. Christ is the only righteousness of His people. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. This is what He did for all God's elect. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he did it that the blessings of Abraham might come on us Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith through Jesus Christ. Everybody Christ died for, he's saying this, everybody he died for, they're going to be brought the gospel. And they're going to be given the Holy Spirit. And they're going to be born again. And they're going to be given faith by God. And they're going to cast all of their care on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how God gives you freely the righteousness of Christ through faith in Him. This is why Christ died. When it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. What he's saying is the purpose for which Christ died is so his people will be born again, born anew. You have to be, because that old nature has to be cast down, and a new nature has to be created in us. That's the new man in whom we believe. It has to be a new man created. The message we preach is not due. That's the message the world's preaching. The world wants to hear the message that says to you, do this, don't do the other. And so today they're standing up preaching that message. They're preaching it as morality, telling you what's right to do and what's wrong to do. But that's not salvation. We don't preach do. We preach done. It's already done. Christ did it all. And that's how we're saved. That's the message of the gospel, rather. Is the law then against the promises of God? Paul asked this question in Galatians. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. See, there was no law that could give life. God didn't give it to us to give life. There's no law that could give life. You see how blind men are that these scriptures are given to us over and over and over that say God never gave the law to earn a righteousness by it. God never gave the law for you to earn life by it. And yet men still say, well, the law has other purposes too. The law was given as a code of conduct. And they say, no, the law is one thing. It's a ministration of death. It's to condemn you and pronounce you dead. It's so that when the commandment comes, by the grace of God, that old man that you thought was righteous by his deeds, like Paul said, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That's what it's for. To kill you. To kill all your hope of righteousness by your works. If there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe in Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, that's the righteousness of the law. If you still want to try to come to God by the righteousness of the law, well, I'm free from your blood because I've told you the truth. I wouldn't do that if I was you. You're going to perish. But now let's talk about the righteousness which is of faith. It says all is done, so that you may live. You may have life freely. That's what the righteousness of faith is. Listen, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. We're sinners, so we can't keep the law. But every sinner who's ever been saved from the very beginning till now, every sinner who has ever been saved has been saved the same way. Every single one. And that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, you mean even back then in Moses' day when he gave the law, when God used Moses to give the law, and Moses, we've been seeing in Exodus how Moses is teaching the law. You mean even in those days, sinners were saved by the free grace of God and through faith in Christ? Yes. That's what Moses preached. Moses was a preacher of the righteousness of faith. Let me show you that. Go to Deuteronomy. First, look there. Look at Romans 10 and see what that says. It says the righteousness of faith speaks. It doesn't say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, or who shall descend into the deep. It says the words near thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith we preach. Go to Deuteronomy 30 and look at what Moses preached. Look here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Listen to this. He says in verse 6, the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, and here be the result, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. He said this to the children of Israel. After you've committed transgression against God, you've broken this law, and God's cast off Israel, then God's going to come, and to His elect Israel, He's going to circumcise you in the heart and give you a new heart so that you have life now. And then look down at verse 8. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments, plural. You're going to do all the commandments, plural, which I command thee this day. How would they do all these commandments? You just said we couldn't do the commandments. I just preached to you that you can't keep the law. How are they going to keep all these laws? Look at verse 11. For this commandment, not plural, singular, this commandment whereby you obey His voice, which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that thou shalt say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Paul said, that is, to bring Christ down from above. This law is not saying, oh, there's still something to do. Christ's got to come down. No, this message says Christ has already come. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who should go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Paul said that's to try to bring Christ up from the deep again. He's already arisen. But the word, the command, this is the command by which we keep all God's commandments. There's one command by which we keep all the commandments of God. Here it is. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Go back to Romans 10. Listen to this. Romans 10. And he says there, verse 8 at the end, he says, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's how we do all the commandments of God. We trust Christ to have done them for us. We believe Christ has done all the commandments for us. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess Him as your Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You don't work unto righteousness. You don't work for righteousness. You believe on Christ unto righteousness. And the mouth, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Because the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him will not be ashamed. And this goes for Jew and Gentile. There's no difference. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether we Jew or Gentile, you've got to be saved the same way, through faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the only way to be saved. The righteousness of faith believes Christ has already come down. We're not grasping for something else to be done. He's come down. He's fulfilled the whole law. And we're not looking for Him to come up from the deep again. He's arisen and He's at the right hand of God. And there we're seated in Him. Fully justified. Fully accepted of God. Complete in Him, Paul said. This is what the righteousness of faith believes. There's nothing else to be done. It's all done. He fulfilled all the obedience necessary by His righteous life and by His righteous death. Christ fulfilled the law perfectly. And faith rests it all on Christ and trusts Him alone. And with the heart you believe. With the heart you believe. You believe unto righteousness. That's how we obtain righteousness, believing in the heart. We obtain salvation by confessing Him, not being ashamed of Him, not being ashamed to confess Him in water baptism, but not being ashamed to bear witness of Him before men when they ask you the hope that's in you. We're not ashamed of Him anymore. We believe in our heart He's all our salvation. When you believe He is your salvation, you won't be ashamed of Him anymore. That's what the righteousness of faith declares. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. God said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you a heart that will obey God and bow to God. I'll put my spirit within you, God said, and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments, and you'll do them. And the way we keep His statutes and His judgments is He brings us to bow to Christ and obey Christ. Now from then on, we're not going back to the law. We're not turning back to Moses. We're following Christ now, and we're looking to Christ. We learn how to live by how Christ lived. And we learn how to treat our brethren by how Christ treated the brethren. We learn what to preach by what Christ preached. Christ just preached Christ. That's all He preached. We learn everything by looking to Christ. We don't go back to the law. And when we do go and preach the law, we're looking at Christ in it and what Christ did. We just went there and read Moses, and we saw Moses preach the same message Paul preached in Romans 10. And Paul is telling us in Romans 10, this is what Moses was preaching. This is why he said that you don't go try to go up, you know, to heaven, because that's to bring Christ down. Paul is just giving us a commentary on what Moses preached. Moses preached the righteousness of faith. After he gave that law, and those men sat there and looked at that law, and they began to realize, we can't keep this. We can't keep this law. Then Moses preached faith to them. He told them, he said, you're going to break this law. You're going to fall under the curse, and you're going to be, this nation's going to be destroyed. But afterwards, God's going to come, and some of the natural sons of Abraham, God chose them before the world was made, and He's going to circumcise you in the heart. And you're going to believe on Christ. And that's what He has to do to us Gentiles. He has to circumcise us in the heart. This is a true Jew, Paul said in Romans 2. Not one that's circumcised outwardly in the flesh, but one that's circumcised in the heart, in spirit. That's a true Jew. That's a true Israel of God. And that's how He does it. And we're not ashamed of Him anymore when He does it. Now, let me end by giving you this. Go to Acts 13. I want to end with this. I've set before you today the two ways that men try to come to God. The righteousness of the law. Scripture says, God says plainly, no flesh shall be justified by the law. No man can earn life by the law. The law is too high, it's too wide, it's too tall. It reaches to your heart. And besides that, we've already broken it. We broke it from our mother's womb. So we come forth guilty and we can't fulfill the law. Now you've heard it. You've heard this. You can't come to God in the law. And then I've set before you the righteousness of faith. I've told you Christ earned the righteousness that God's pleased with. Christ is the righteousness Himself of His people. He's the righteousness God has provided for His people. He's the righteousness to whom God is going to bring His people to believe on. And that's the only way we're made righteous. When you believe on Christ, God freely imputes the righteousness of Christ to you. And God's not just treating you as if you're righteous. Christ made His people righteous by His obedience. So when God imputes righteousness to you, it's because that's what you really are in Christ, by what He did. And that's why He imputes that righteousness to the believer. Christ made him righteous. So look here now. You have these two ways. Which way are you going to try to go? If you say, well, I'm just neutral. I don't care about all that. Nope. You're going in the works of the law. There's no neutrality in this. If you say, I'm not going to take a stand for Christ, you just took a stand against Him. That's right. There's no neutrality. You're either coming to God, hoping it'll all be all right because I'm good inside. Oh, no. Christ, our Lord, said from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, is wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. God will not receive us. But this way of faith, brethren, you believe on Him. Look what it says. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Christ Jesus the Lord, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by Him alone, all that believe, that's all you do. You don't do anything else but trust Christ. All that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's it. That's salvation. Now I pray God will bless it to your heart and cause us all to come by faith alone. Trust Christ alone. Amen.